Welcome to the Women and Money Cafe. I'm your host, Julie Flynn, independent financial advisor and financial coach. And this is the weekly money podcast for women by women, exploring the practical and emotional side of money.
So, we've got a really, really special episode for you today, guys, and Happy New Year. And we've got a great episode to hopefully get you thinking about your finances for the next year. Now, let me tell you a little bit about what we're going to do for the next sort of 30, 40 minutes. We are going to speak to two amazing ladies from Ayla Money, and that's Liz Prager and Nikita Vias. And let me tell you a little bit about how I came across them. And then I will hand over to Julie, and then she will have a little chat with them. And we've just got such a great opportunity to get some insight into what it is they're trying to achieve. And I think you're going to love this. So anyway, a very long time ago, before the world began, well, not quite, but a long time ago, in my 20s, I was working at the Royal Bank of Scotland Group. And little did I know that also virtually probably on a next bank of desks or slightly low near-ish floor, these two ladies were working away as well. So I didn't know, but we are all alumni from the Royal Bank of Scotland. But I didn't know that when I met them. So what happened is I was contacted by a lovely lady called Frankie Smith, who runs an investment club. It's a networking group run in London for all sorts of people wanting to gen up on their investing knowledge and get started with making their wealth grow. And she had recently just had Nikita and Liz on her podium. And I asked for an introduction because immediately I was grabbed by what they were trying to achieve. So they're running a new venture called Ayla Money. And I was going to call it an app, but it's not an app. And I'll let them explain how they're doing it. It's quite novel and very innovative and very effective, I think. But basically, behind Ayla Money is this driving force, very much like with the Women in Money Cafe, this driving force that women should be more educated and women should not be missing out on these investment opportunities that men have been, you know, accessing very easily all of their lives. It's almost like they're born with the investment manual in their hands, whereas us women, you know, for whatever reason, spend our lives running away from it. And we mustn't do that. We've got to face facts. We've got to face our financial futures, and we must be brave. And I think that's what Ayla Money is trying to do. And they're doing it in such an amazing way. So without further ado, I shall hand over to Julie, and she can introduce you to Nikita and Liz from Ayla Money.
All right. Thank you for that, Emily. So Liz, Nikita, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
Right. So I'm really excited to have you here because everybody that listens to the podcast knows that I am a complete and utter app junkie. All right. So any money app out there, I have tried it. So when Emily came to me, she said, I've heard about this new thing. And at first we did think it was an app. And she said, I've heard about this new thing. You need to go and check it out. So I went and checked it out. And it's not an app. It's much cooler than that. But I think it's dead fancy what you're doing. So probably what would be a great place to start with is tell us how the two of you met. Liz, do you want to give us your version of how the two of you hooked up? And then Nikita, if she gets, you know, if she's missing vital details, fill us in.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to. And this is actually a story I think we agree on quite a bit, right? So we share a mutual best friend. And while Nithika stayed in my room multiple times at university when I wasn't there to visit our mutual best friend, we never met until actually our best friend's wedding, at which we were actually also the best, like the bridesmaids for. And Nithika organized the hen do, and I flew in from halfway across the world to then semi-host it. And Nithika flew halfway across the world because she couldn't be there. So it was literally the night before the wedding that we met. And it then happened that we both worked at the Royal Bank of Scotland after university and, you know, met for coffees and started to actually, you know, build our own relationship and friendship. Goodness, that was like 10 years ago now, 15 years. Yeah. It's really, really showing our age. But yeah, we've been friends for a long time.
So you had like a best friend timeshare.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
or there's just three of us, right? Like we all are now are really close, the three of us. So yeah.
All right. Okay, so then obviously Emily's given us a little bit of background on the fintech company that you've started. Nitika, do you want to give us sort of a background on what the driving force behind this was, where the impetus came from?
Yeah, so I think we're both very passionate about causes such as female empowerment. I guess for me in particular, also, I came from a low income background. So kind of coming from a low income background, then being in investment banking, and then in particularly the hedge fund space, I thought a lot of how different things were, like how the wealthy just are able to make more wealth just with the knowledge they have. I suddenly, because I worked at a hedge fund, had a lot of advisors come to me to be like, we'll look after your money. And I was like, And they just didn't speak to me very well. So that's one of those things that me and Liz spoke about. And then we saw it happen more and more around us with our girl mates, especially asking, what should I be doing? Or seeing them pass on the reins to someone else. And we're like, oh, what's going on here? And the more and more we dug into this problem, we realized it wasn't just our friends. This was a bigger problem. And it was something we were both passionate about. So I think that's where it started. And, you know, the more we dug into it, we're like, actually, there is an advice gap, with 80% of the UK not getting financial advice. But this is actually even worse for women. So we would like to tackle both sides of it. So this isn't just for women, but we think if we can solve it for women, we can solve it for everyone. And so we have gone about trying to get put together an app. So you're totally right. At the moment, it's not an app. We have a Typeform app. Sorry. But what we will eventually have is this as an app. But we're currently working on our beta test to see how that will look. And we would like to try and empower people by thinking about their life goals, as well as bringing in psychology, which is really important to both of us with about money. And then, you know, one of the problems we keep hearing is actually people don't trust the advisors. So actually finding them the coaches and the advisors that are vetted by us and they can trust.
All right. Okay. So I found really interesting there as you're talking to me about, you know, the experience that you had moving from, you know, your childhood into hedge fund space, which, you know, I think for most people are worlds apart, regardless of your background. It's very difficult to imagine hedge fund space. And Liz, I know that you're a bit like me, that you're into your behavioural sciences and behavioural economics. So I have a question for you off the back of something that Nitika said, and it was the people out there that want to look after your money, they're not speaking to you, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to take that as code, is that they're men. Is that code that they're men?
Well, a lot of the people that I spoke to were probably older, and yes, right, very much. Although yeah, a certain gender that wasn't mine.
I would also add to that, if I may. It's partly the gender and the age, but a lot of it is actually the language, right? And the fact that, so we've spoken to lots and lots of people in lots of women in lots of different positions. And, you know, there's women who run companies, right? So they are responsible for big P&Ls. They, you know, they have big job responsibilities, et cetera. And they go, I know I'm smart. I could not be doing this job. But in every time I speak to somebody about money, they make me feel stupid, right? And I don't think there is potentially an interpersonal thing, but there is also just a language barrier where there is an expectation that I should understand not just the basics, but actually quite a lot more. And if I don't, I feel really, right? I feel like I shouldn't be asking those questions. And I think that's in part what we're trying to counteract also is to give that basis of the understanding, right? But then also and here's some things you might want to think about before you speak to an advisor. And here's some things that you might want to think about before you actually, you know, take on an investment, before you buy a house, before you. So giving people almost the checklist to go, okay, right, it's not just that I need to have the foundation of the understanding, but actually also know what to look out for in certain moments.
Right, now, because what I find really interesting is then, although it hasn't been built for women, have you been conscious of the language that you use while you've been building it then? Then you know that there's certain kind of language that is exclusionary. I think of one example. I saw an advisor who did a really, really good post. It was a really, really good post explaining investing. And he walked you through the day of all the different products he came into contact with and that's what you're investing in, blah, 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 all the rest of it. It was great. See, the only problem with it was the very first part of the post was, so today I got up and I used my Gillette razor. I, straight away, you've just excluded 51% of the population because we don't get up and shave our faces every day. And it's little things like that, that immediately a woman reading that post could immediately just go, all right, that's not for me. So it's little things like that. I don't think we, you know, most of us are that aware of how language influences behavior. So I'm just curious about how that shaped what you've built.
So we've definitely tried to include as much of the language that I guess we would also like to be spoken to, right? And almost the, imagine it's the, maybe the 10-year-old self that you're speaking to, because we do, having the backgrounds that we do, have an understanding, have the jargon, I guess. So sometimes it's a reminder to us. And we sense check it with women who haven't been in the field, right? To just go, hey, how does this blog sound? How does this post sound? How does this, does it make sense? Do our webinars make sense? Is there something missing? And then we'll course correct. We're still at the stage where we're early on to be able to have the luxury to do that, right? So where we can sort of A-B test certain stuff to find out what language actually works and what language perhaps doesn't work so much.
And I think to add to that as well, we are very conscious of this, and not only because of the advice gap, but because of the intention action gap as well. Everyone knows that they need to do stuff, but how do you actually put your messages in a way that doesn't overwhelm people, but actually gets them inspired to action? And with that in mind, we're actually speaking to some behavioral scientists to see and actually look at our messages to say, right, how do we write them in a way that actually inspires and motivates people rather than dejects them? So we are trying to do it with a scientific approach as well.
All right, that's cool. Emily, you look like you've got a question there for the ladies.
Yeah, I was going to just ask, I mean, we've talked about what your mission is, but in terms of avatar, have you thought about your client avatar? Who is it you're speaking to? You know, what's her name? Where does she live? Where does she shop? Where, the reason I ask this is because as a financial advisor or planner, I have to change my tone, my language, my everything according to who I'm talking to. All of, you know, so I have, you know, 75-year-old men as clients, and I have 42-year-old women. And so, you know, it's different, and I'm changing my voice and language all of the time. But because you only get one shot, you're a sort of like mass market tool, you're trying to talk to everyone with the same voice. Who is it you are talking to?
We set out looking at largely focused on women between the ages of your mid to late 20s to your probably late 40s. Right. And we've always said, especially for the beta version. So for our sort of initial forays, quote unquote, into the market, we wanted somebody who had either a trajectory to a good income or already a decent income. Right. So when you then look at where they might work, it could be consultancies, banking worlds, they could be doctors, they could be dentists, they could be in managerial positions, they could work in technology, et cetera. But they would either be on a trajectory, they would almost certainly have had some sort of degree, education for this, right? And with that, we then sort of said, you know, sure, there's differences, and we're actually seeing this through the beta version of where people's goals are, right? So we're seeing that in your late 20s, early 30s, you're still looking to you're looking to buy a house, right? You're sort of dead set on that. You might be thinking about your wedding. When you get into your 30s, your focus, especially around money, changes to being a mother, right, or being a parent. And then it's only when you get into your 40s, et cetera, that you're going second home and then retirement and all of these kinds of things. And so what we do is we focus more on those goals, right? We have the ambition in terms of language to actually see if we can't almost provide somewhat more empathetic tones for people who have like fears and anxieties around money versus for those people who perhaps see it as more of a power or more of a freedom attitude or you know, motivation. You can speak to them in slightly different tones and voices, et cetera. The honesty at this point is that we're too early on to have you know, programmed all of that in. It very much is an ambition that we have, but we're probably just not quite there yet.
So when I think you know, we are trying to do it based on life goals. And, you know, Liz has talked through some of the things that people want to do at different ages, but we very much recognize that everyone's journey is different and we can't pigeonhole people into those journeys. And so we actually really want where we go about it is asking, what are your life goals? And then helping calculate that. Because I think what happens in the traditional advice forum and what we don't want to get stuck into is just assumptions of how people's lives go. And that's not okay for a lot of people. And we need to break away from that. And so it's like, actually, what are your life goals? I don't care what everyone else is doing in their 30s. What do you want to do? And we want to break away from saying, oh, you shouldn't think about your pension until you're 40. Equally, you know, whatever you want to do in your 20s. And that might be career, but that might be something else, going traveling. We're putting all of those in as well.
Excellent. So it's real life planning. It's not just financial planning. Yeah.
But we think actually they come hand in hand. And I think that's what we're really trying to bring home, that actually to make the life you want, you need to have an element of control of the money that is required for it and the timeframes for that too.
Well, we have a lot of fun running the cafe. The reason we do it is to reach as many women as possible to empower them around money. So if you know a woman who would benefit from feeling financially empowered, you can help them and us by sharing this episode with them. Right, do you know what I really like is based on what you've said there? Okay, so we've got this thing that's going to educate me and empower me around money, but I like the fact that you're going to challenge the status quo and the fact that, you know, even as financial advisor, okay, I know what financial advice is like. Okay, we have this idea that life works like this. People will do this and then they'll do that. And then you need to get to age 60 and then you need to retire. And that's what the brochure said. And it's all complete bullshit because life just doesn't work like that. So I love that you're out there and you're disrupting this idea. Because I think, see, the problem we have as people, as individuals, is we're sold this idea of what life is meant to look like. And we go off there and we try to copy it without ever sitting down and asking ourselves, is that actually what I want?
Exactly.
So do you help poke at these assumptions then about what I think my life should be like?
I think we would like to start doing that more. So at the moment, we ask, what are your ideal life goals? And, you know, some people have come back and said, oh, actually, no, all I can think about is career. And we're happy to then give them that advice, not that kind of view of, okay, that is your current view. What do you want in terms of your holistic life? And actually take that step back and say, this is really important to you now, but there are other things that are going to be important in 2 years' time or 5 years' time that we need to start thinking about already.
So what we always do, and Nithika's already mentioned that, is if somebody puts their life goals down and says, for instance, traveling, career break, I want to start my own business, you know, maybe I want to get married. If they've not mentioned a pension, we will 100% bring that to their attention because it's the socially responsible thing to do. It eventually you will retire and you can either decide to have some sort of control over it or it will just happen. Right. But there will come a point in your life, regardless of how old you are now, where you will stop working, where the income will no longer be there, and not planning for that. That's something we already sort of prompt people on, whether they mention it or not.
All right. So I'm curious then, as you've been developing this, and as you said, you're still in the beta phase, has there been anything in particular that you've learned so far that surprised you? Liz is whispering so much to me. Come on, Liz, give me your top three surprises.
I think what's been really interesting is seeing how engaged some people are, right? Like So we get daily texts almost from certain people responding either to questions or musings or something, right? Where they're really like, they have found a partner to discuss things with, right? Versus others who we almost never hear from. And then we ask a feedback question and they're like, yeah, it's great. And you just sort of go, wow, okay, I don't think we've cracked that yet, but it's really interesting. So that for me is one. The other thing that I found quite interesting, and this is somewhat of a working hypothesis, but is when we ask people, are you enjoying this? And they say yes, we often say, would you refer us, right? And the sectors where I guess I expected, based on who we were working with previously, as in our lives, for us to get referrals, were probably not the ones where we got as much. Whereas from the medical space, who earn a fair amount, like who earn decent money, who know they're smart because they've got a really good education, but who also know that they never learned anything about money, they're much more like willing to refer. They just go, yeah, fine. I'll my friends all need this because we all know that we just never learned this. So happy to introduce. And then I think the other thing is that we're starting to get coaching, more and more coaching referrals. And I guess I don't know quite where I expected those to be, but it's usually at the point where we're starting to help people calculate their goals, where people go, and it's not that they sit there and they go, it's my financials, like it's the money, but it's actually the life goal work. Right? That they are going, wow, I haven't thought this through. I haven't thought about what life I want. Do I, you know, and should I? And that's quite an interesting sort of, I don't know, revelation for me.
Right. Any other surprises?
I think where we've been doing both the beta version and actually also webinars, what I've been surprised about is, there's been a lot of people who haven't realized that they're not the only ones that feel like this. And actually there's just a sense of relief of being, whether it's on the webinar or actually just responding back to us being like, oh, it's not just us. This is a problem bigger than us, because I think historically people have just been ashamed and people don't talk about money in the same way. And actually I think it's nice to see people have that sigh of relief, and you can see it on the webinars, you can see it actually in some of our messages. So that's been great. And actually that's been more so what we've seen in women. And it's crazy to think that actually by 2025, 60% of the UK wealth is going to be in the hands of females, of women. And like, you know, it just shows just how much the confidence in, say, investing or taking control of finances needs to kind of come towards and be pointed more towards women.
Mm-hmm. Can I just open that out a bit, you know, this about this 60% of wealth being in the hands of women? Because I think I read about this quite some time ago, that this was coming, and this is huge, and this has been coming for a long time. But I think my view is that I think perhaps the traditional advice community have been a bit naive to the fact that it's not just coming to women through their husbands dying and then being widows, or being passed down from parents. But women in their own right, I'm saying something so obvious here, but I honestly don't think that the financial advisor community has grasped this, that there are women out there earning really good money. Then they might not have that massive lump sum yet, you know, that's from an inheritance or a lottery win, who knows. But what they do have, a lot of them, is disposable income, at least until they have children. They have a decent amount of disposable income. And then after the children are gone, perhaps they've got that deep, even better, decent amount of disposable income. So I just feel that advisors are not plugging into this. They're trying to exploit, that's a bit harsh. They're trying to nurture relationships with their clients and the next gen, which is great, but that's all about keeping hold of the assets that they already have under management. I think there's this massive blind spot to say that there are women out there who really need help now for these little incremental amounts of disposable income. You know, this is going to make a massive difference. This is what's going to close that gender wealth gap.
All right. Liz, you look like you've got something really pressing you need to share with us on this.
So I 100% agree with everything that you've said. The other thing that I think the industry, and I think this is broader than advisors, actually haven't entirely understood, is that women are more time poor than men, right? We still do most of the household chores. We still do more of the kids. And you can, there, I'm sure there's some women out there who, where this is not the case, right? But we don't have typically as much time. So even if you have the disposable income, you have to deal with them in a different way. First, because they're time poor. Second, because they often don't have the same taught knowledge, right? Because it's not part of the general schooling. And we do speak to our boys more than we speak to our girls about money, right? So there's almost like a catch up that has to happen in a very different way, right? That I don't think is happening. Plus, we all have one of these now. Sorry, I'm holding up my iPhone for people who are listening. And traditional wealth managers, IFAs, also the whole advisory space, because, you know, when you have money, you often don't just need someone to look after your money. You need a tax accountant. You need potentially a solicitor at some point if you're perhaps going through a divorce. Or there's all of these advisory services. They often don't use digital media to actually communicate with you. And I think there's this moment of there's a transfer of wealth from generation to generation happening, plus women are getting more and more disposable income, right? And so there's all of these factors that are coming in together that aren't being picked up adequately, perhaps, by the traditional industry.
And I think to add to that as well, one of my biggest pet peeves about the traditional financial advice model is a lot of people don't want to look at you because it wasn't commercially profitable to have that relationship until you were earning an X amount or you had X amount of wealth. Now, a lot of these people who are coming up from their 20s, who are high potential people, I have friends who have been in the hedge fund space who are partners at hedge funds who have been turned away by wealth managers. And I think there needs to be a challenge because, okay, yeah, they may not have that wealth at the moment, but I can guarantee you they are going to have that wealth at some point. And I think it's really about shaking that up and challenging it a little bit more.
I know, I absolutely love that. And I think because as I'm listening to you, the three of you, what you're saying as well, is it's all very well that we have women that are earning reasonable salaries or are generating reasonable profit. But unless we can make that next step where we know how to invest, it's just income. Income doesn't build wealth. And that's the missing piece of the jigsaw for me. So that's why I absolutely love what you're doing there, because it's getting it to that next step. So, you know, 150 grand salary, yeah, that's nice. But if it's just all sitting in the bank, the stuff that I don't spend, I'm not building wealth, am I?
And I think that's why we start, even the beta version, which relies solely on information that people are willing to give us, right? But the first thing we do now is we say, here's your net worth based on what you've told us. So here's how much you've got. Then we calculate what you've told us are your life goals. And usually, very few people we have come across have enough to cover them. Those that do are those that are really close to retirement, and typically they have a financial background. Everybody else, and it's totally, of course, it's totally normal, right? You're starting out your career, you're in the middle of your career. You have amassed X, and actually what you need is probably X factor 5, X factor 8, X factor whatever, but a lot more. And really the thing that we're saying is putting it in a savings account just ain't gonna cut it, right? Investing is no longer a luxury, right? So a big part of where we're trying to get people to with the beta version and ultimately on our final solution is to start investing.
And you're launching this at a great time, really, aren't you, in the economic cycle where people are being really tempted to just stick their money in a fixed rate account for a year And, you know, you just wait and see what happens when you get to the end of that year and interest rates are falling and what rate they're going to offer you then. And in the meantime, the markets have moved and you've just missed a great opportunity to make some great money on the investment world, in the investment world.
Well, I've just written down what you said there, Liz, a minute ago. Investing is no longer a luxury. I think it's really powerful. It's an essential. We have to be doing it. And I think I really like that message. I'm going to be running with that.
Be my guest. Something we're very much trying to promote.
It's like going to the dentist or the optician. It's part of that taking care of your future self.
Yeah,
100%.
And actually, the thing is, and we see this, and you know what we're trying to say, whether it's the dentist or actually, you know, now in the world of financial coaching, people are less willing to start that. And I think there has to be a bit of a change when it comes to PTs, so gym coaches. People are now very willing to accept help with that because they've seen it work and they see, actually, you know what, if I've got a goal, whether it's to lose weight or to run a marathon in this amount of time, I'm going to go to an expert, a coach, and get them to help motivate me, keep me accountable, and let's go with this. We are wanting and trying to help that catalyst in a similar way in the financial coaching world and say, actually, this is no longer a luxury investing. You're going to have to do this, but you have to do it alone. There are people, including Isla, who are here to help you, as well as financial coaches. We're not saying you have to give it to someone else to deal with, but get the help around you. Have that support community to help you get you to the stage where you're comfortable doing so.
And I always think that health and wealth just go hand in hand. There's no point having one without the other. Obviously, if we had to pick one, we'd probably pick health. But there's no point living forever if you've got no money. And there's no point having loads of money if you haven't got health. So it's interesting. We've seen this great big movement in the well-being sector. Is it the financial well-being sector that is now going to take off? I really do think that has to be inevitable. Let's hope so.
I really hope so, because actually one of the reasons we're really passionate about the psychology of money as well is, so as whilst working in finance, I also then started doing a counselling course and started then volunteering pre-COVID and then through COVID with mental health charities and helplines. And the amount of increase in calls during COVID and after COVID was horrific, but a lot of them were to do with stress with finances. And, you know, it really does take people to their brinks and it's horrific to see. And so much of it can be helped just with the right resources.
All right. I'm feeling really moved by that because that's the whole reason we set up the podcast, was coming out while we were in lockdown and the thought of women being stuck at home and not knowing how to financially make things ends meet. So what I'm taking away from this is, one, so for listeners, right, we're at the start of the new year and we've all got these good intentions right now. You need to go and check this out because I've been playing with it for a couple of months. It arrives in WhatsApp. I get little messages giving me nudges on things to do with my money and educating about my money and motivating me. So you need to go and check this out. So I want you all listening to pick one intention that you're going into 2024 with regards to your finances. Hint, if you want to go with Liz's, investing is not a luxury, that would get my backing.
And if you want to learn how to do it, try our beta version, because we take you through the whole journey of what everything is and how you can actually start and all that kind of good stuff, right? Because we it's so easy to say, just go do it, right? But there's so many inhibitors and blockers and things that you think through and that you get confused by along the way. So we try and demystify some of that for you.
With none of that scary language.
With none of that scary language.
None of that scary language. All right, so as we bring the podcast towards an end, okay, because we're the curious type, we like to ask our guests some questions just to get to know you a little bit better. So, Liz, would you like to go first? I have a question for you, and that is, do you want to tell us an interesting fact about yourself?
Sure. I think the most interesting is I've been to every continent. Including Antarctica. And another one of my better travel destinations was North Korea. So I've been to North, but never to South Korea.
That's an unusual choice. And I'm sure there's another podcast episode in that one.
There would be, but probably not about financial services, I have to say. More of a travel-focused one.
All right. And Nitika, do you want to think, have you got an interest in the fact that you're comfortable sharing with the listeners?
Definitely. So one of the things that Liz and I have definitely bonded over is our love for travel and nature. And so I guess mine has to do with whales, which I have a soft spot for. So I've swam with both killer whales and humpback whales up close.
You two are really exciting, aren't you?
Amazing.
Like, we've got every continent, we've got swimming with the whales. Now, I do believe as well that you have a shared interest, because one of the questions I sometimes ask is, "What when you were little, what job did you want to do when you grew up?" Who wants to share the answer? Because it's a singular answer, isn't it?
So it was only thanks to you that we've worked this out, but we both had an obsession with Ali McBeal and wanted to be lawyers. So yes, it was just something that obviously grabbed us both in our childhood.
Who knows, there's maybe an encore career there for both of you once you've successfully wiped out, you know, the gender wealth gap.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Right, ladies, I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing just the experience that you've had and the things that you've learned in building this. If people want to find out more or get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
The best way is probably to follow us on socials. It's Isla Money on both Instagram, Facebook and LinkedIn, actually. And if you can find both of us on LinkedIn as well, Nitika Vyas and Elizabeth Prager. The other thing is an email, hello@islamoney.com.
All right, well, I will put links to everything in the show notes. The other thing that you've mentioned is webinars, that you've run webinars. If somebody's interested in the webinar, how would they find out about that?
So we typically post them on our socials, and that's where you can then sign up through a link. Again, a lot of the content is actually also, or similar content is in the beta version, right? In much shorter bite-sized versions. So it's rather than dedicating an hour or an hour and a half to learning how to invest, you can do that over a couple of days with shorter videos. So everybody likes to digest in different ways, and we'll leave that to the audience to decide.
All right. Well, I will make sure we've got links to everything in the show notes. But I'll say thank you very much for joining us. And Emily, thank you for finding us, these two wonderful guests. Okay, now, listeners, it just remains for me to say thank you very much to you for listening. And until next time, please do take care of yourselves. Thanks for listening to the Women in Money Cafe. If you've enjoyed it, please leave us a review. It really does help. And also, please note the podcast is for education and information only and doesn't constitute personal financial advice. Please reach out to one of us or any of the other fantastic financial advisors in the UK for that kind of help.